Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Algoma Central Corporation's fourth quarter results conference call. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for a question. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star zero for the operator at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded on Monday, February 23rd, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Peter Winkley, VP of Finance and CFO. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Joanne. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Algoma Central Corporation Fiscal 2014 Fourth Quarter and Fiscal Year-End Investor Conference Call. Joining me on the call this morning is Greg White, our President and CEO. This morning, I will take you through the financial highlights for the quarter and the year, following which I will turn the call over to Greg for his perspective on events in the quarter and the outlook for the business. We will then open it up for questions. Hopefully by now you will have seen our news release. We expect to make our annual filings on SEDAR later this week, and I'm glad you've been able to join us today to get a quick overview of our quarterly financial results. Of course, before I begin, I should remind you that our comments today may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to vary materially. Some of these risks are disclosed in our management discussion and analysis portion of our annual report and quarterly report, and in the 2013 annual information form filed with the relevant security regulators. Also, unless otherwise noted, all amounts are in Canadian dollars. I'm going to take you through our financials for the quarter and the year to date and touch on some operational highlights. The results for all of 2014 were strongly influenced by the dramatic winter last year and the very difficult start to the 2014 navigation season that the industry experienced. The backlogs caused by the slow start compounded by high demand, particularly in grain, and these factors have impacted results for each quarter of this year, particularly in our domestic dry bulk segment. We enjoyed a very strong finish to the year. In our fourth quarter, we continued to see strong customer demand in domestic dry bulk, and all business units except product tankers enjoyed revenue growth. Consolidated revenue for the quarter was $149.7 million, compared to $148.9 million last year, and revenues grew 2.5% to $503.7 million compared to $491.5 million for the fiscal year. Segment earnings after tax for the quarter were $35.9 million compared to $21.6 million for the quarter in 2013, and they were $58.1 million compared to $46.1 million for the fiscal year. The 2014 quarter and fiscal year were both affected by asset impairment-related items. Excluding those items, segment earnings after tax for the quarter and the fiscal year were $25.6 million and $50.7 million, respectively, reflecting increases of 18.5% and 10% over the prior year periods. Reported net earnings for the quarter were $35.3 million compared to $22.8 million for 2013, and earnings per share were 91 cents for 2014 compared to 59 cents last year. Earnings and EPS for the quarter include the reversal of a previously recorded impairment provision on the Algoma Hansa. Under IFRS, sustained improvement in the outlook for an asset necessitates the reversal of any such previously booked impairments. We have now decided to keep the Hansa in domestic service indefinitely, and this is a triggering event for such accounting. Excluding the impact of this item in the quarter, net earnings were $25 million and EPS was 64 cents, improvements of 9.5% and 8.5% respectively. In Q3, we recorded a write-down of some vessel spares that are now deemed surplus to the needs of our fleet as we go through our fleet renewal. Including the impact of the Q3 charges for the full year, we have recorded a net impairment gain of $7.4 million. Net income and EPS for the full year, as reported, were $52.8 million and $1.36. Excluding the impact of the net impairment gain, net earnings would be $45.4 million and EPS would be $1.17, both of which are 8.3% higher than the $41.9 million and the $1.08 recorded in fiscal 2013. I will turn now to the results from our business units. Domestic dry bulk revenues for fiscal 2014 fourth quarter were $106.6 million, up 3.9% compared to $102.6 million in 2013. For the fiscal year, revenues were $337.2 million, compared to $323 million last year, or 4.7% higher. As noted in prior quarters, to respond to the strong customer demand, we actually operated two vessels previously scheduled to retire at the end of 2013. These vessels operated throughout the end of December and have now been sold to be replaced by new Equinox-class ships. The domestic dry bulk segment after-tax operating earnings were $16.5 million for the quarter, compared to $14.6 million reported in 2013, an increase of 13%. For the fiscal year, segment earnings were $17.4 million, up 16.7% compared to $14.9 million last year. In addition to the strong revenue performance, by the end of 2014, we had two Equinox-class vessels operating, and we are beginning to see the operating margin improvement coming from those new ships. Note, too, that the impairment provision on spares impacted fiscal year results by $2.9 million after tax. Demand in our product tanker segment remained fairly strong through most of 2014, although demand lessened somewhat towards the end of the year. Revenue for the fourth quarter was $25.2 million, down from $29.2 million in 2013. However, utilization of our own vessels actually improved with the addition of the Hansa to the domestic fleet, enabling us to avoid the use of outside charters. As a consequence, although revenues for the quarter were down, operating income for the segment was up 58% from last year, as revenue from our own ships increased 8.6%. Note that the operating income referred to above excludes the impairment gain reversal on the Hansa of $10.3 million, as this is by no means a normal operating item. Revenue from product tankers for the full year were $95.2 million compared to $100.6 million in 2013, and segment earnings, again excluding the impairment gain, were $14.2 million compared to $13.7 million. Costs incurred primarily in Q3 to transition the Hansa into domestic service offset some of the gains from her availability this year. The Hansa will replace two smaller domestic tankers as they retire in 2015. The Hansa is a sister ship to the Argo Sea, and we look forward to strong performance from her in the upcoming year. For ocean shipping, our share of pool revenues for the quarter was $14.1 million, and for the full year it was $61.1 million, compared to $15.9 million and $64.1 million for the same periods in 2013. The decrease in our share of revenue from the pool and a drop in earnings from the joint venture were the result of the retirement of one of our 50% owned ships at the beginning of the third quarter. Although pool volumes were up, the pool has experienced some pressure on rates, but this was offset by strong time charter business in 2014. Also, as the pool operates in U.S. dollars, the strength of the U.S. dollar was positive for our reporting of their results. Quarterly after-tax earnings for the segment were $3.3 million for 2014. And $3.4 million last year, as currency gains largely offset the reduction in our share of the pool associated with the vessel retirement. For the full year, the segment earned $13.7 million compared to $15.3 million last year. Revenue from our real estate segment, Algoma Central Properties, was $8 million compared to $7.3 million in 2013, and segment after-tax earnings were $0.9 million for 2014 compared to $0.5 million last year. Improved occupancy in several buildings is the main factor driving both revenues and segment income. Occupancy climbed throughout 2014 as we filled some key vacancies in Station Mall, in a Waterloo-based building, and in St. Catharines. Occupancy for the year averaged 88.6% and reached 93% by year end. As a result of this improvement, revenues from real estate reached $30.2 million for 2014 compared to $28.3 million last year, and segment earnings were $2.6 million compared to $2.2 million. Moving on to some other items, our general and administrative expenses for the year were $26 million compared to $26.6 million last year. Although generally comparable, a 2014 bad debt expense offset a reduction in professional fees compared to 2013. Interest income in 2014 was $0.3 million compared to $6.5 million last year. The 2013 figure includes interest on the refunded tanker installments and on the refunded tax installments, associated with the overpayment of tax installments that was crystallized by the settlement of our land valuation tax dispute. I'll remind you that both of those items occurred in Q4 last year. Interest expense for the year was $10.1 million compared to $11.8 million. The difference here is, again, due to the tax land valuation settlement, as we paid some interest on the tax liability that we recorded associated with that settlement. And finally, we're reporting lower foreign exchange gains for 2014. This is partially due to the expiry of a number of currency contracts originally taken out to cover the expected Equinox installments, and the fact that we replaced these contracts by declaring excess U.S. dollar cash as a hedge. Combined, these two factors essentially eliminated the P&L volatility that has been impacting our reported P&L. That summarizes the highlights on the income statement, and I'll now turn to major items affecting cash flow. Cash flow from operations for the year was $104.8 million compared to $109 million in 2013. A reduction in accounts receivable over the course of 2013 accounts for the difference. Excuse me. We spent approximately $36 million on CapEx in both years, with the largest items being the delivery of the Algoma Equinox and the Algoma Harvester in 2013 and 2014, respectively. Of course, in 2013, this spending was offset by the collection of the tanker installments and the related interest, so investing activities in 2013 actually resulted in a $7.2 million source of funds. Financing activities for both years reflect principal and interest payments on debt and dividends. Cash outflows for 2014 were $38.6 million compared to $31.5 million last year, primarily because of the early repayment of some older term loans. Our shareholders' equity at year-end was $607.1 million, or $15.60 a share, up 8.2% from the $561.1 million, or $14.42 per share of 2013. And as you likely know, we will be paying a dividend on March 2nd of 7 cents, continuing the annualized 28 cent per share rate. That covers the operating and financial highlights of the quarter and the year, and I will now turn it over to Greg White.
Thank you, Peter. The winter of 2014 will long be remembered as one of the most severe on record, with ice coverage on the Great Lakes reaching near record levels. In early March, almost the total surface of the Great Lakes was covered in ice. As a result, we experienced significant delays at the beginning of the season, and even with the additional ice-breaking units from eastern Canada assigned to the Great Lakes, the opening of the 2014 season was delayed due to the ice conditions. Vessel transits through the St. Mary's River and across Lake Superior were the most challenging at the season opening. Vessels encountered very lengthy delays waiting in assigned queues for ice-breaking escorts in convoys across Lake Superior. The transit time of these convoys was very slow, and as a result, the waiting list of vessels requiring transit grew to over 70 vessels at the peak. The need for these ice-breaking assisted convoys in Lake Superior persisted into the second week of May. These difficult operating conditions and the delayed start at the beginning of the 2014 navigation season resulted in significant schedule disruptions, delays, and extended trip times, and led to our second quarter segment earnings after income taxes being down from the previous year by over $4 million. Due to some very good work by many people, and in spite of some unfortunate vessel incidents, our operating earnings net of tax for the last 6 months of the year were much improved. As a result, we are very pleased that we finished 2014 with operating earnings net of tax, excluding any impact of the valuation reversals that Peter mentioned, being ahead of 2013 by $4.6 million. 2014 was highlighted by the delivery of two additional Equinox-class vessels. The Algoma Harvester, our second Equinox-class vessel, was delivered to the corporation on May 13th in China and arrived in Port Cartier on July 11th following a 54-day voyage across the Pacific Ocean and through the Panama Canal. Upon arrival in Port Cartier, the Algoma Harvester loaded a first cargo of iron ore, and then headed for Hamilton. The third Equinox-class vessel, the CWB Marquis, was delivered to its owner, the CWB Inc., formerly the Canadian Wheat Board, October 31st in China. The vessel arrived in Canada on January 1st, 2015, and will join the Algoma fleet for the start of the 2015 navigation season. The CWB Marquis will be managed both commercially and technically by the corporation, and the vessel will be operated by an Algoma crew. The Algoma Harvester and the CWB Marquis are the second and third Equinox-class gearless bulk carriers to join the Algoma fleet. These vessels are part of a series of eight vessels being built at Nantong Mingdi Shipyard in Nantong, China. The series consists of four gearless bulk carriers and four self-unloading bulk carriers. Algoma will own six of the series, consisting of the Algoma Equinox and Algoma Harvester and the four self-unloading vessels. CWB Inc. will own the CWB Marquis and the soon-to-be-delivered CWB Strongfield, which will also be managed by Algoma. We expect the CWB Strongfield to be delivered early in the second quarter of 2015, and the first two self-unloaders, the Algoma Conveyor and the Algoma Sioux, to be delivered later in the second quarter and late in the fourth quarter of 2015, respectively. The remaining two self-unloaders should arrive in 2016. On December 26, a local court in Nantong, China, approved Saintee Marine's application for the restructuring of Nantong Mingdi Heavy Industry Shipyard in Nantong. In the application, Saintee Marine has indicated they are seeking to assume the shipbuilding contracts and business of Nantong Mingdi after a successful completion of the restructuring process. This restructuring process is expected to take between 5 and 7 months. Saintee Marine has indicated and demonstrated to us that they intend to continue work on the Equinox vessels under construction at the shipyard during this restructuring period. Algoma common shares trade on the TSX under the symbol ALC. After several years of strong gains, the shares entered a consolidation phase in 2014. For the year, total shareholder return, which includes share appreciation and dividends for the corporation's shareholders, was 0.5%. By comparison, the TSX Composite Total Return Index increased by 10.6% for the same period. This follows total shareholder returns for Algoma shareholders of 20% for 2013, 41% for 2012, and 11% for 2011. And over the five-year period ended December 13, 2014, the total shareholder return for the corporation's common shares was a compound rate of 16.3%. And by way of comparison, the TSX Composite was a compound rate of 7.5%. Sustainability continues to be a key component of our strategic vision, which simply stated is continual long-term growth in shareholder value while operating in a sustainable manner and always being governed by our core values. In 2013, we highlighted our sustainability initiatives and accomplishments with the publication of our inaugural sustainability report. This document provided a detailed report card on all aspects of our sustainability performance, highlighting performance against metrics for safety, environmental impact, community involvement, and governance. We are very pleased with the report and plan on following this up with our second sustainability report in the first quarter of 2016. One of our key sustainability highlights in 2014 was the announcement that we had received all required approvals for the exhaust gas scrubbing system installed on our Equinox class series of vessels. Scrubber units manufactured by Wärtsilä are designed to remove 97% of sulfur oxide emissions from the vessel's exhaust streams. The scrubber concept works with fresh water recirculating in a closed-loop system. The sulfur oxides are washed out of the exhaust, then neutralized. The resulting contaminants are disposed of at a reception facility in port. Commissioning of the first scrubber unit installed on the Algoma Equinox was completed by a team from Wärtsilä together with Algoma technical and shipboard personnel during the summer of 2014. After rigorous testing, it was confirmed that the scrubber was effective in removing at least 97% of the sulfur oxide emissions from all engine exhaust streams on board the Algoma Equinox. We are extremely pleased to have the first unit commissioned and the entire Equinox class series approved for use. Our Equinox class are not only the most fuel-efficient vessels operating on the Great Lakes St. Lawrence waterway, they are now clearly the cleanest. We continue to focus on operations excellence, including cost control, reduced incidents, minimize unproductive time, and improved asset utilization as part of our return on capital employed improvement plan. In 2014, our ROC, after adjusting for excess cash and for deposits on vessels under construction and not delivered into service, was 10.7%, compared to adjusted ROCE of 10.1% in 2013. We also continue to focus on our workers' safety practices, employee health and welfare programs, and community involvement. We believe very strongly that each employee should return home to his or her family in the same condition as they left for work. Our team works very hard to provide a safe and secure working environment for our over 2,000 employees. Our goal is zero workplace incidents, an achievement that many of our individual vessels and workplaces have achieved. We've reduced our lost time injury frequency for all business units combined by 50% over the last 5 years. Although we are pleased with this improvement in performance, anything above zero is unacceptable. We see many encouraging signs for the 2015 season. Volume shipped and vessel activity are expected to increase further as demand from grain shippers and salt producers are forecasted to increase. In addition, the drop in value of the Canadian dollar against the U.S. dollar should have a positive impact for exporting of Canadian commodities, such as aggregates, and coupled with the low cost of fuel should support increased commodity movements by vessel. In addition, we look forward to further Equinox class deliveries in 2015 and to realizing the significant operating efficiencies these Equinox class vessels will deliver. On behalf of the corporation and our employees, we would like to express our appreciation to our customers and business partners for their business and support and the confidence they place in Algoma Central Corporation. Our success is due to our customers, but is only made possible by the hard work and dedication of each and every one of our over 2,000 employees and the strong leadership and guidance of our board of directors. In closing, I would like to remind you that the annual meeting of shareholders will be held in St. Catharines on May 1st, 2015. I invite you to attend and look forward to seeing you at that time. I will now turn it over to the conference operator for the question and answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your touch tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing the keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Thank you. Your first question comes from Otto Chang of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, Otto.
Good morning.
Hi. Morning. Just a couple of follow-up questions with respect to your commentary. You mentioned the restructuring process going on with your shipbuilder. I'm just wondering, are there any recourses or penalties that they have to pay if some of these deliveries are delayed?
We have liquidated damage penalties in the construction contracts. These are not sizable or significant. Our main recourse is cancellation if the delivery dates become unacceptable and our payments are covered by refund guarantees. We don't expect that to happen, but that's our ultimate recourse.
Okay, and I think you can remind me again, but these recourse guarantees is essentially you get all your deposits or your monies back if the ship is not delivered, or is that correct?
That is correct. Plus interest.
Plus interest. Okay, perfect. And then I guess just my second question related to the fleet. I mean, I understand you guys have more ships coming in 2015, 2016. And my question is just longer term, you know, given the current age of fleet, do you foresee potentially renewing additional ships, you know, in the 2016, 2017 period?
Yes. We don't see that the current program that we've got on the books, the 8 Equinox class vessels, is the end.
Okay. I mean,
we have many other ships that get older by the year and eventually will need to be replaced. And we definitely plan to continue in the business, so fleet replacement in the future is definitely in the cards.
Okay, perfect. And just my last question, you know, with you mentioned in your commentary that also, you know, fuel prices are down, and now you guys are implementing the new scrubbers, which makes your ships, the newer ships, one of the cleanest. Can you just remind me of what the benefits of the scrubbers are? Is it you can use a different grade of fuel versus your competitors, or vice versa? Any commentary on that would be great.
Sure. Well, first I'd like to clarify, we're not one of the cleanest. We are the cleanest.
Sure.
By far, we're the only one with scrubbers installed and in use. What the scrubbers allow us to do is burn the cheapest fuel available with any, we can carry the max, we can buy fuel with the highest amount of sulfur inherent in the fuel, and we can scrub it all out. Our competitors will have to use fuel that's more expensive, which won't have as much sulfur in it because they can't scrub it out. So cheaper fuel and better sulfur limits.
Okay. And are you retrofitting these into the older ships too, or is it just based on your new ships?
At this point, we are concentrating on the Equinox class vessels with scrubber units. We do not have any plans in place to retrofit vessels at this time. But as we get closer to there's a 2020 deadline where our entire fleet or all the fleets will have to meet a 0.01 sulfur limit.
Mm-hmm.
By each vessel. Well, right now we're in a fleet averaging phase where we can use the benefits of our scrubbing systems to offset other vessels, and that we believe will take us pretty close to the 2020 ultimate deadline for the emission control area requirements. So we will be looking at that as we get closer to 2020.
Okay.
Otto, ultimately, that'll be an economic decision, right? With the cost of installing on an existing ship is much higher than it would be installing it as part of the construction. So ultimately,
yep,
it'll come down to the dollars and cents.
That's fair enough. Okay, great. I will, wait for the CDAR financing before I have more questions, but I'll jump back into queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, should you have a question, please press the star followed by the 1. Thank you. Your next question comes from Blake Pelham of Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Greg. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Blake.
Hi, Blake.
How are you guys?
We're cold. How are you?
That's what I was. That was my first question. Was that you're really contributing to the ice cover again this year?
It would seem that way.
Yeah. So it kind of almost looks right now that ice cover is going to be similar to what it was last year. And I was just wondering how that's going to affect the start of the season, and is there anything that you maybe can do differently than last year, or how that will start out?
Well, the ice cover right now is about the same. That's what's being reported, and based on last year, we're not expecting that it'll be an easy opening.
Okay.
Time will tell whether it's as difficult as last year. It really depends on what happens for the next month. And the only thing we can do differently is not rush to the gate and not get have ships fitted out and sitting in queues doing nothing. So that's what our evaluation will be taking place over the next month, and as how we manage that.
Okay. The damage to the Algaway boom, was that material in terms of the numbers for Q4?
No.
No? Okay. And can you touch a bit on the bad debt expense in terms of amount or anything like that, or should I just wait for the financials?
We haven't disclosed the amount. I think you could probably guess who the perpetrator was, given what's going on in Hamilton at the moment.
Okay. All right. That's another question. And back to the delivery schedule, sorry, and I know, Greg, you mentioned this, but so the strong field you expect to get delivered in China in Q2, early Q2?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the first self-unloader was also Q2?
Yeah, end of Q2.
The end of Q2?
Yep.
And the second self-unloader, I didn't catch that one.
End of the year.
End of the year? Okay. Okay. And back to the other question on the scrubbers, and I know you said you weren't looking to install them on other ships other than the Equinox class. Are they able to be installed on the other ships? Is there enough room and those kinds of things?
Well, I think the quick answer is yes, but as Peter mentioned, it will depend on how much that retrofit costs.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think the your statement was exactly correct. It's not that we're not looking at. We have no plans in place now. That it could be something we do on certain vessels, but it's just not something we have felt the need to evaluate at this point or concentrate on.
All right. I think that's all I have, guys.
So, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. You may proceed.
Great. Thank you for joining us today. And should you have any further questions, of course, please do not hesitate to give Peter or myself a call. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating, and we ask that you please disconnect your lines.